Hello, my bookish friends. Welcome back to Mary M's Book Pod. And today we have things to celebrate. Do you know what week it is? You're like, yeah, I know what week it is. It's the week of April 4th. It is National Library Week. Let me tell you, it's story time here. So today was the first day that I stepped into my local library, that I physically stepped into my library in over a year. This pandemic really, it just changed up all of our routines, right? And I know, you know, going to the library doesn't, it pales in comparison to everybody's health, obviously, but it is one of my favorite pastimes. And I'm sure for you readers out there, you feel the same way. Going to the library is just, I don't know, how do you say it? It's a treat. So today I headed over to the library. As I said, it's National Library Week. So National Library Week actually runs this year from April 4th through the 10th. And I Googled it just to give you a little description in case you're wondering what exactly the week represents. And, you know, please, I know there are so many national holidays. I mean, there's like, you know, national coffee and there's like cupcake days and cake days and all that stuff. But this week happens to be dedicated to libraries. So it is a time to celebrate our nation's libraries, library workers' contributions, and promote library use and support. So when I, you know, it's funny, when I headed in today, because of COVID, they have all of these precautions set in place. And first off, as soon as you walk in, there's a police officer on the left. And I was like, hello, sir. And I just have it just has this feeling of my local library is not putting up with any COVID tomfoolery. You know, I think they have somebody stationed there just in case there are any issues. I don't know, with mask wearing or anything like that. But I do have to say, my visit today, I felt very safe. They have all these precautions set into place. So there's limited hours. So for example, today you could go in from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then they have other time slots available for those that don't want to come inside. They have, you know, contactless pickup. So I believe, I don't know if it started at 3 or 4 o'clock, and then they have a certain hour set where you could, you know, pull up in your car and they'll bring your books out to you. So I thought that was pretty cool because it's set up so everybody can use the library in a way that they feel comfortable with. So I wanted to tell you about that. I don't know what's going on in your specific towns and cities. If you you want to share with me, that, you know, I don't know. So I've heard some people say that, you know, their libraries opened up a little bit quicker than mine. So shoot me an email at marymsbookpod@yahoo.com. And let me know what your library did. I'm curious to see how everybody's handling it. Obviously, during the pandemic, library apps like Hoopla and Libby were getting a lot of activity because for a while there, we couldn't even, you know, go near the library, let alone borrow any books. So just curious, let me know how you've been borrowing books from your library. And I'm going to move on and tell you, oh, first, let me tell you, in honor of National Library Week, so cute. I got this little care package when I checked out. They gave me a pencil, a bookmark that says Find Your Place at the Library, Celebrate National Library Week. Pretty cute. And check this out. This is a fine coupon. It says save up to $5 on fines at the library. I have to say, I'm a goody two shoes with that. I don't really have overdue fines. It says good for up to $5, one use per patron. And it expires on April 1st, 2022. April 1st, maybe it's an April Fool's joke. What else did they give you? Oh, this is a cute thing for kids. It says, welcome to your library. And it's a little coloring sheet. Very cute. Oh, there's like a little, what do you call these? A word search on the back too. So that was nice. They give you a little care package. And plus, oh, did I mention? They gave you 2 Hershey Kisses. Give me chocolate and I'm happy. All right, let's get into the books that I took out. I didn't go too hog wild. I wanted to, but I have a rule. When I'm at the library, I can only take out what I can carry. If it starts to get uncomfortable, it's just time to go, Mary. So here we go. So I have 2 fiction books, and then the rest are graphic novels, I believe, if I'm looking at this correctly. So the first book is Group by Christy Tate. How One Therapist and a Circle of Strangers Saved My Life. This apparently was one of the Reese's Book Club books. I don't know if you're interested in that, but it's right on the cover there. So this book is, let's see, Publisher Weekly says, a dazzling debut memoir. Readers will be irresistibly drawn into Tate's earnest and witty search for authentic and lasting love. So let me just read a little bit of the inside flap so you get an idea of what the book is about. I'm just taking a peek at the back cover. You know, it's like a blurb galore. Very nice. Okay, so Christy Tate had just been named the top student in her law school class and had her eating disorder under control at long last. Why then was she driving through Chicago fantasizing about her own death? Why was she envisioning putting an end to her isolation and sadness that continued to plague her despite her achievements? Enter Dr. Jonathan Rosen, a therapist who calmly assures her that if she joins one of his psychotherapy groups, he can transform her life. All she has to do is show up and be honest about everything: her eating habits, childhood, sexual history, and more. Christy is doubtful, insisting that she is defective beyond cure. But Dr. Rosen issues a 9-word prescription that will change everything. You don't need a cure, you need a witness. So this is a book I see on a lot of people's top, you know, to-be-read books. So I'm glad I checked that one out. Looking forward to that. So, okay, and next up we have, oh yeah, we've talked about this book before. This is The Mystery of Mrs. Christie by Marie Benedict. She also wrote the bestseller, The Only Woman in the Room. So this one is about Agatha Christie when she went missing in real life. It's a book about what happened in that case. And I know I've read this to you before, but I'll just give you a fast blurb again. Oh, guys, when I opened up this one, there was a bookmark in there. You know I love that. Is there anything like finding a free bookmark within your book from the library? Okay, I'll stop nerding out. Okay, here we go. In December 1926, Agatha Christie goes missing. Investigators find her empty car on the edge of a deep, gloomy lake. The only clues, some tire tracks nearby and a fur coat left in the car. Strange for a frigid night. Her husband and daughter have no knowledge of her whereabouts, and England unleashes an unprecedented manhunt to find the up-and-coming mystery author. 11 days later, she reappears just as mysteriously as she disappeared, claiming amnesia and providing no explanations for her time away. Yeah, I was excited to read this. I remember when I saw it was coming out. It was just maybe, what is it, a couple months ago? So I'm excited to have this one in my hands. And by the way, what do I have? I said I have 6 books here. Let's try to be realistic. Do we really think I'm going to have all 6 of these read before they're due, what I think, in 3 weeks? If you said yes, you think that I'll read all 6, thank you. That's very kind of you. Because I'm also reading a couple other books that I'm like halfway through. I'm reading Anthony Trollope's Dr. Thorne. I have a graphic novel going. Do I have something else that I'm reading too? I don't know. It's not in front of me, so of course I can't remember. But anyway, let's see. Let's face the challenge. Let's face the library challenge in honor of National Library Week. Let's see if I can. I mean, listen, 2 are fiction books and the 4 other are graphic novels, so I could do it. I could do it. Let's see. I don't want to put pressure on myself. All right, on to the graphic novels. There's 4 here, and the first one is by Mark Siegel, and it's Sailor Twain or The Mermaid in the Hudson. Interesting. So this one, I love the artwork in this book. It's very like very sketchy. It's black and white, and it looks very, very pencil-y, if that makes sense. So here's a little insight into what this one is about. A century ago, aboard a steamboat plying the Hudson River, Captain Twain rescues a wounded mermaid from the waters, carries her to his cabin, and nurses her back to health. Reminds me of reminiscent of that movie with Tom Hanks, right? Splash? All right. Back to the description. Winding its way up and down the mysterious and temperamental Hudson Valley and across the backdrop of New York's Gilded Age, Sailor Twain is a bewitching romance, a novel of rivers, magic, mermaids, and the great mystery of human nature. So, sounds good, right? This one is about, it's a little bit of a chunker for a graphic novel. It looks like it's just under 400 pages, so that'll be a fun one. Next up, I have a book by Jen Wang. It's called Coco, Be Good. This art looks amazing. Okay, so let's get you a little description on this one. Honest, wrenching, and sharply funny, Jen Wang's Coco Be Good is a stunning debut about human nature and the inhuman efforts we make to find ourselves. This is a first, second book, which pretty much when you see that it's published by first, second, I've learned from my friend Kristen that it means pretty much you're going to enjoy it. Good stuff. All right, next up on the deck here is, can you hear me like struggling trying to pick up the books? King of King Court, a memoir by Travis Dandreau. Okay, this one is put out by Drawn and Quarterly. And let me tell you a little bit. These are obviously, these graphic novels are just blind pickups. I can't even say that I've heard of them before. I'd seen Sailor Twain here and there on Bookstagram, but other than that, these other three are just blind pickups. And I, of course, I've heard of Jen Wang before, but never read her. All right, we're going back to King of King Court. At age six, Travis Dandreau's mother introduces him to his biological father, Dad Dave, a wisecracking rascal who is hiding a lot of pain and a drug dependency. Travis recounts growing up in a cycle of poverty and addiction with Dave, as well as a distant stepdad and an overwhelmed mother. Travis learns to escape the unpredictable trauma of his everyday youth in a small town, Massachusetts, by diving into cartooning as a way to control his unpredictable world. By masterfully using the language of comics, Travis neither over-explains nor understates his childhood wounds. Expressive and detailed, each page is bursting with an idiosyncratic energy as volatile as the world around him. Okay, let's see. How long is this one? Page numbers. All right, who needs page numbers? Just enjoy it, Mary. All right, and last up is, I believe this is a new release. Not so sure. Oh, well, it has the pretty new sticker on the side. So this is Chasing the Bird, Charlie Parker in California by Dave Chisholm with Peter Markowski. Oh, and there's a foreword by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So this one is about, of course, Charlie Parker, the jazz musician. It's put out by Z2 Comics. And I'm trying to find a little description for you. Oh, here we go. Actually, these are just blurbs. Let me tell you what Publishers Weekly says. The superb book manifests the bleak circumstances surrounding Parker's addictions while celebrating the musical genius that continues to influence jazz improvisers today. It's an innovative exemplar of the graphic bio form and will win over Parker fans and jazz newbies alike. Very cool. I recently, the last record store day, I picked up a live Charlie Parker record, and it's fantastic. So there you have it, guys. Happy National Library Week. I know we're coming up on the tail end of it, but if you haven't hit your local library and you feel comfortable going, I suggest going. Have a good time. Check out some books. Say hello to the staff, the librarians, and everybody helping out there. It's always nice to see their smiling faces. And yeah, that's all I have for you. Oh, I forgot. I, of course, have your departing quote for the day. It's a short one. It's from Lord of the Rings, of course, by J.R.R. Tolkien. Not all those who wander are lost. That's one of my favorite quotes. Okay, guys, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for checking in. I hope you're having a great day, great night, great week. I appreciate you, and remember to enjoy those books.